meeting of the Story County Board of County Commissioners. You'll all, first order of business, if you have any cell phones or any other devices that make noise or anything, come on silent now. And join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And moving right along to item number three, discussion of possible action and approval of the agenda for this date, August 19th, 2014. Discussion on this?
Second.
Mr. Chairman, staff requests that we move up items 12 and item 16 to immediately following the consent agenda.
All right. We'll move to 12 and 16. We'll move in right after number 9.
Okay, with those changes, a motion to approve.
I'll second the motion.
Move to second to approve today's agenda with the changes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along to item number 4, discussion of possible action, the approval of the minutes for August the 5th, 2014. Any discussion on the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Move to second to approve minutes for August 5th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. We'll move along to the next item on the agenda is today's consent agenda. Does anyone have any questions on today's consent agenda? Mr. Phillips?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips for the record. In regards to the consent agenda, I'm just curious, in the first, for possible action approval, general liquor license, first reading, while a name of the applicant would sure be interesting. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Phillips? Any other questions on today's consent agenda?
Second.
Move the second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Very good. All right. Let's go ahead and we'll move along here to item number 12. This is discussion of possible action. Recommendation to award contract to successful bidder for the construction of the Story County Courthouse Roof Replacement Project. This will be open on this date and will be included in today's commission packet prior to the meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I think at your last meeting, you confirmed Mr. Gardner's and my actions and my authorization to him to cancel all bids previously received. Between Shannon and Sherry and our contract consultant, Dubay, we did go back out to bid. And from this point on, I will turn it over to our project manager and expert, Mr. Gardner.
Great.
Thank you, Commissioners. Shannon Gardner, Story County Building Inspector. So we received bids last Thursday at 2 o'clock. We got two bids this go-around. One bid was incomplete with its paperwork and was not a qualifying bid. We did get a qualifying bid from Watershed Systems out of Carson City, and very pleased with the bid number we got. With a base bid of just over $69,000.
It was $69,020.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. Exactly. And then some alternate bids, snow guard system of $7,680, gutter system for $3,900, new roof access stairs and catwalk for $18,380. Our projected budget for this project is a little under $100,000. What I'm recommending to the commission at this time is that we award the contract to Watershed Systems for total roof replacement in the amount of $69,020, and including alternate three for new steel roof access stairs and catwalk at $18,380 for a total of $87,400. And the reason that I'm recommending that we do not include the alternates for the snow retention and the gutter system at this time is I have recently become aware of a snow guard system that I had not previously seen, that I'm fairly impressed with, that will work with this type of a roofing system. And so I want to take a little closer look at that, do some research on that, and visit that again with you guys once we get the new roof on here. And, of course, there's no sense putting gutters on there unless you have a snow guard system, because we don't want the snow to just slide off and rip the gutters right off of there. So at this time, I'm recommending that we award the contract for the roof replacement, new catwalk and stairs, in the amount of $87,400. And I've brought you some samples of the roofing material. This is a 24-gauge standing seam roof system with a locking seam so that it doesn't rely only on the clip and fastener system, but the seams are interlocking. It comes with a manufacturer's installed finish system, which is the copper penny color there. I brought you samples. The roof panel sample is not a copper penny colored, but the ridge cap and the drip edge are colored there, so you can see those. The 24 gauge, if you grab one of those, you'll feel it's a real heavy gauge, sturdy material. The standing seam is 16 inches on center as opposed to 24, so that gives it more rigidity and high winds and stuff. You won't see the metal fluttering at all in the wind like you will sometimes with a 24-inch on center seam system. So it's a really good product. It comes with a manufacturer's warranty, like we're looking for. And I think we've got a good proposal to replace the roof here.
Mr. Chairman, if I might add, I think Michaelson wants to come up. I believe our contractor, should you select him, is here in the audience. Is that this gentleman?
Yeah, so if there's any specific questions, I'm sure.
I want to point out simply that he took the time to be here. I've never been more impressed with a gentleman that had initially been just moments late to submit his bid, mostly because Shannon had taken the time to ask him specifically to how much would it cost for a complete roof. And he sharpened his pencil, provided that bid, sharpened his pencil even more. This is a great price for this project, in my opinion. And one of the reasons also that I think Shannon and I have debated back and forth, did we go ahead for the whole thing or not, we actually could and just barely be under $100,000, but there are items that we're going to have addressed at the same time, including repointing the chimneys and a few things that we want to make sure get factored in. And I'm sorry, I forgot your name. Is it Mike?
Mike Baxter.
Yeah, Mike from Watershed Systems is a multi-generational Nevadan, and it's pretty exciting when you have a guy who's probably willing to cut the cost down to bare bones simply because he would like to have his name on this great historic treasure. And I think it's wonderful when we see that from Nevada-based, Carson City-based businesses, I believe. So I don't know if Mike had one.
The bid price for the metal catwalk and stairs is for actually a primer and paint finish. So we are going to get an estimate of what it would take to powder coat that. And That's another reason that I want to recommend that we don't do the snow guard and gutters under this same contract, because I have, want to have a little bit of contingency to look at the powder coat finish on those. That's something I should have mentioned right off the bat there.
You mentioned that there's a manufacturer's warranty on the roof, and we have a warranty for Mr. Baxter as well on the workmanship.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we have a. He's providing a 5-year warranty on materials and workmanship. We're going to meet with the manufacturer's representative as soon as we can schedule a day, and look at the options for upping that warranty, specifically the manufacturer's warranty, to possibly 20 years on that.
Commissioner Shoevega?
I like it.
So, motion to approve then the contract as presented by Mr. Gardner with Watershed Systems for $87,400?
Correct.
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion from the audience on this before we vote? Mike,
I just wanted to make mention that a portion of this $25,000 is federal grant dollars, so the county portion is reduced by that amount. Just, yeah.
Any other comments? We have a motion and a second to approve the contract with Watershed for $87,400. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you, Shannon. All right. We're going to go ahead and we're going to move on to item 16 now. We're going to skip around a little bit here. We've got Vicky Kiswood here. I'd move you up so we don't take up all your day. Are you going to take the lead on this, Debbie?
Yeah, I have a short introduction, and then I'll turn it over to the board and the applicant. Did you open it? Okay.
Go right ahead.
Okay. This is an application from the Nature Conservancy, Mickey Hazelwood. It's located West McCarran Ranch, Mustang Ranch area in Story County. The applicant is requesting a special use permit to restore and improve portions of the Truckee River. All the details are outlined in your staff report, so if you don't have anything specific for me right now, I'm going to turn it over to the applicant so he can explain the project.
First, I'd like to thank the commission for your time this morning. I also appreciate you moving me up on the agenda. Not necessary, but appreciate it. As Bessie stated, this is an application for a special use permit for another restoration project along Lower Truckee River. Is there a point in this? I think I've seen your staff report, so I think you have all this information and probably pretty well aware of it. Anyway, the project is located, here's the Mustang exit off of I-80. Mustang Road. Road up to the landfill. This is the BLM's portion of the old Mustang Ranch that we've already done some restoration work on, you may be familiar with.
And so the project site's just downstream of there. This is a picture taken from just upstream looking down into the site proper. What you see is, you know, the site is dominated by a stand of old growth cottonwood, steep riverbanks with an understory that's almost entirely invasive weeds, mostly tall white top and some mustard. The reason the site looks this way is because the channels become deeply incised in this area, leaving steep banks. Water tables become depressed, and native vegetation has had difficulty reaching the water table. Invasive weeds have taken over the area. So what we intend to do to correct the problem in this situation is to excavate floodplain material to bring the floodplain closer to water surface area so that we get more frequent overbank flooding, restore some structure in the channel with some ripples, some white water. This will allow, again, growth of native vegetation to replace all that tall white top. So again, the primary elements of this project, it's much like the other projects we've completed in the past in both Story and Washoe counties, and going through the special use permit process. This one's a little smaller in scale and scope. We will not be relocating the river channel itself at all for this project. This is the current river alignment. This will not change. It's all floodplain excavation in this area. A little bit of floodplain excavation down here. And again, this is just to increase seasonal flooding of the area and promote native vegetation and wildlife. Some of the other features of this project are some scour channels through the site, which will just, again, carry spring flows through the site, increase wetness. Then a couple of ripple structures in stream to add some structure and also help with grade control, prevent any upstream erosion that may set itself up for future, and also some very specific erosion control structures in here, grade control structures, basically just trenches with riprap that would arrest any sort of head cut or flanking the river may try to do in the future. And then, of course, revegetate the site with native plants. The benefits to this type of work, not only for wildlife habitat and flood attenuation, as I've mentioned, but these projects also improve water quality by increasing nutrient uptake and shading of the channel, and then, of course, recreational opportunities. All these restoration sites we've worked on, including this one, are open to the public. We're seeing a large number of anglers using the area, as well as hikers. Thanks to our neighbors at Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we've been able to open up the upstream portion of the McCarran Ranch property that the Nature Conservancy owns. We've been shut down on public access there for many years. We've been trying to open the property since we acquired it in 2002. However, you had to cross the railroad tracks to get to it. It's a private at-grade crossing, and Union Pacific Railroad wouldn't entertain any ideas of a pedestrian underpass or overpass. So through our good neighbors, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, they've allowed us to have a little trailhead on property they own on the Story County side of the river, which allows foot access into the property from downstream. In addition to the special use permit that we're requesting for this project, we also have to work with federal, state, and other local entities on the permitting process. Won't run through all these, but as you can see, there's a huge list of regulation that is required to implement a project like this. Again, we've worked with Story County and Washoe County on these projects for several years now. Each of these has been through the special use permit process in Story County. To date, we've done restoration work along a little more than 10 miles of the river and over 600 acres of the floodplain have been revegetated. So the way these projects fit together, if you aren't familiar with them, we're proposing work here in this area where the upstream part of McCarran Ranch and Mustang Ranch abut one another. We started restoration work here in 2003, again in 2005-2006 at McCarran Ranch. Then we did restoration at 102 and Lockwood in subsequent years, then the Mustang Ranch property. And most recently, just this past year, we completed the earth-moving phase of a restoration project here at the Tracy Power Plant. These are a little dark, but just some quick images to show you some of the changes that have been taking place as a result of this work. These are actually satellite images that have been color-coded and enhanced and also classified according to vegetation types. All this dark orange in here and light yellow, like I said, it's a little dark on this wall, but what you see prior to the project, that's all weed. Again, tall white top, mustards, different invasive species. If you'll notice in the most recent image, this entire corridor along the river is now green with native vegetation. What we're also seeing, here's just a similar image for Lockwood property. Again, all this orange is all weedy species, and here it's been replaced with native shrubs, grasses, and also wetland plants. Similar image of the 102 Ranch property. Again, just, you know, the real thing to take away is notice that both the dark and light colors here are weedy species, and they've been replaced with natives. What we're seeing with these changes is not only changes in the vegetation at the sites, but you know, we work with other nonprofits and consultants to monitor the activities on these properties. What we're seeing is an increase in not only the number of birds that are present on these sites, but also increase in the diversity of species. We've actually had a couple of species of birds reported on these sites that hadn't been seen in decades. Again, we're seeing a lot of increase in usership, visitorship of these sites, which we really encourage the public to go out and enjoy these. We think that you know, the folks who go out and enjoy these sites are also the greatest stewards of these sites. And the angling community has really gotten on board with this work because we're seeing a really great improvement to the fishery in this reach of the river. So with that, happy to answer any questions. And my contact information is here in case you have questions after today or you'd like a copy of this presentation so you can see some of those images a little better or anything else.
Great, sir. Mickey, do you have even a ballpark estimate as to how many cubic yards of earth will get moved for this upcoming project?
Yeah, this particular project is right about 100,000 cubic yards.
I defer to Commissioner Gelman, but I watched the Tracy project and was astounded. These are not small projects when they're moving the type of dirt that they have to. And they are huge, huge investments that the Nature Conservancy brings to us, and specifically, I think, to the residents upstream in the Lockwood community, as well as into Sparks and Reno. Their projects, just having been a partner of Mickey's over all the years that we've been doing this, they're big projects, and they're something to watch. So they're to be commended for making this happen one project at a time, which is may seem small, but it's
been piecing it together for several years. And you know, to your comment regarding funding, you know, we've tried over this last decade to really leverage the funding that's been available for this type of work. We've received funding for this work from federal agencies, Bureau of Reclamation, Fish and Wildlife Service,
We received funding from the state when there was funding available from the state, from the Question One program, from some other nonprofits, the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. So we've really tried to, you know, identify the funding that's available and match it against different sources so we can make this complete as much work as we could with the money that's available, the limited money that's available.
What's your expected expense on this project?
This project's just a little over $1 million, and that's from start to finish. That's from, you know, inception, design, engineering, the actual earth moving, the revegetation work. So little, like I said, a smaller scale than some of the other projects that we've undertaken, but not insignificant, as Pat said.
I think a residual benefit that we'll all know enjoy is the majority of that property was originally transferred from Washoe County and Historic County. And so we're in the process right now reviewing zonings and land uses, and those projects will be compatible with everything that is bordered with the freeway and, of course, the river. And with you folks giving us a window to nature like that, it's going to be a beautiful environment. And I think it's a win-win all the way around. Certainly congratulating on the project. We're pleased you're bringing it in.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Gilman.
Can you weigh in on that, Mr.
Shebang? I like it. I think it's, what you, Mickey, got about 80 acres there that's going to be impacted. Is that what I read correctly?
I'm sorry?
Total acreage of the project, about 80 acres?
That's the total footprint of the project. The area of disturbance is limited to about 26 or 27 acres.
So that spreads flood water around, gives us a good surface area for evaporation and percolation.
Yeah. try not to send that water further downstream.
Well, if we take it from the staff report, then the motion would be then, in accordance with the recommendation of the Historic County Planning Commission and staff, and the findings under Section 6.1 of the staff report and or the other findings deemed appropriate by the board.
Commissioner.
Approval. Historic County Board of Commissioners.
Bill.
Hereby approved.
I think we still need to open it up to public comment.
Yep.
Right. And we still need to open it up to public comment, and I want to read the findings into the record, too.
Okay.
And I think...
Who's got somebody?
You
got a comment?
Thanks, Mickey, for your presentation. Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. I just want to make comment for the record, and I'd like it to be reflected in the record, that this property on the north side of it does have a canal that goes through it for irrigation. That property, we want to make sure as staff that that canal is protected, the easements in which it's located are protected, and what Mickey and his engineered plans indicate is that canal will actually remain in place and that there will be crisscrossing canals, I guess you want to call them, for lack of a better term, around that. So in essence, when that canal is filled during a flooding event, that water will leave the correct canal and go into those other auxiliary canals as part of this project, but that initial canal will remain. So we do, as staff, have gone through and verified, and it appears that that will be protected, and it will be protected for future use of water conveyance or other uses. So just want to make that clear on the record. Thank you, Mr. Commissioners.
Desi, you read the findings.
Sure, and that what Austin is referring to is a condition number 20 on page 16 of your staff report. So now I read the findings into the record. The proposed SUP complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, and standards of the county master plan, Title 17, and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to official notice by the county. The proposed SUP will be compatible with existing adjacent land uses and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses or properties in the vicinity. The proposed use in the proposed area will adequately be served by and will impose no undue burden or any other any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or the governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. The proposed SUP will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties. The conditions of the approval of the SUP require compliance with applicable codes. The conditions of approval of the SUP do not conflict with the minimum requirements of Story County Code 17.24 Agricultural or Chapter 17.03.150 Special Use Permits. The proposed SUP will not cause uses that will negatively impact existing or planned public services or facilities and will not adversely impact the public health, safety, or welfare. The proposed SUP will not create any non-conforming conditions such as non-conforming setback distances or minimal parcel area and width requirements. The proposed SUP is in substantial compliance with and supports the goals, objectives, and recommendations of the master plan. And finally, the proposed SUP conforms to the purpose and intent as well as the letter and spirit of the Story County Zoning Ordinance Title 17 and conforms with consistent past practices of the Planning Commission and the Board with regard to requiring an SUP for river restoration projects and other land use proposals that substantially alter the Truckee River in Story County. Thank you.
Thank you. Any public comment on this? Mr. Sevagan, if you want to go back where you left off.
Okay, let me start over on this. So the motion then is in accordance with the recommendations of the Story County Planning Committee, the Planning Commission, and the staff, the findings under 6.1 of the staff report, and the findings that have been appropriate by the board and in compliance with all the conditions of approval. The Story County Board of Planning Commission hereby approves the condition of the special use permit number 2014-013.
Second.
Okay. Second. Great. It's been moved and seconded. We approve the special use permit 2014-013. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. All right. Mr. Hazelwood, thank you very much for attending today, and thank you for your efforts on improving the health of the river.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're going to go backwards, and we're going to go back to number 10. Any discussion? No action, no public comment on staff reports and public works. Mr. Nevin, would you like to start off today?
Sure, why not?
Good morning, commissioners. Mike Nevin for the record. I'll be brief this morning, so about three items to share with the commission today. The bridge decking on the Painted Rock Bridge, the new traffic decking was installed, and we did it in record time. This time we're getting pretty good at it. Took us a day, where last time was about a week's worth of work, so that has been completed, and for the most part, the populace out there at the Painted Rock area is pretty satisfied, so that's a good thing. The other item that I'd like to mention is, I think I made mention last time that we were working through some contaminated soils issues at the new wastewater treatment plant when it was discovered after removing the old pond liner that was constructed, the original pond, 1967. There's some petroleum-based product underneath that. We met last Tuesday with the engineer and representatives of Q&D and a representative with the Nevada Department of Environmental Protection. Have an approved game plan. None of the contaminated soils will be removed off-site, which is good news. They'll be able to be contained within the limits of the project area, under 2 feet of cover minimum. Most of it's going to be, 10 to 12 feet of cover over the stuff, recompacted and so on and so forth. NDEP was satisfied. They're not going to put a stop work on it until we answer their questions, A through K, which we're in the process of doing. So work has recommenced down there, and Q&D is back at it, so that's a good thing. The reservoir rehabilitation projects for both the 5 Mile Reservoir and the Divide Reservoir, the plan design engineering is at 90% complete. I met yesterday with our engineer of record, Far West. Went through everything. We're ready to go to bid. It's our anticipation that we'll have a bid opening at their office on September 18th and possibly be ready to forward a recommendation for a contractor for both projects at the commission meeting, first meeting in October. So we may have a window still to get some of the work completed before the snow flies, especially at the 5 Mile site. And both these projects, of course, have been identified both in infrastructure and capital projects. So CMI on the Divide, well, we provided funding for both actual reservoirs. But on the 5 Mile, they've agreed to cost share up to 50%. So we're moving forward. I was pretty pleased with the design and layout. So like I say, we'll get the bid announcement should be ready to post officially in the legal section of the paper by next week. So that pretty much takes care of the major stuff that we're working on. I'm working with Bill Morris still on the new Marlette agreement. Of course, this has been a work in progress for a couple of years, but we finally got a revised draft back from the deputy DA or GA, AG, excuse me, State Public Works, Susan Stewart. And so she just forwarded that stuff to Bob, I think it was last Friday. So we haven't really had a chance to sit down and absorb it all yet. But we only have an opportunity with these agreements to do this about every 10 to 20 years, because sometimes these are automatically renewed at the 10 and then 20. So we had an opportunity this time to really dig into it and get some of our concerns and questions answered appropriately and properly. So it's been a while, but with any luck, we may have something for approval soon on this. So stay tuned. That's about all I got. Unless you folks have questioned me.
Mike, before you leave the microphone, could you just address the increased gallon storage
capacity? Oh, sure, you bet.
Both 5 Mile and Divide.
Yeah. Just a little history. The 5 Mile Reservoir was originally constructed back in the mining days of the Comstock, as best guess, about 1877, when the third pipeline that supplied water to the mines here in the Comstock was put in. That reservoir was constructed. And it sits up here in the saddle, actually it resides in Washoe County, if you will. It's across the county line. It was constructed. There was a fish hatchery there as well. But it held 5.5 million gallons of water, and it served our water supply with raw water up until 2003. And at that point, in 2003, the county received some grant funding from Community Development Block grant funding to upgrade and rehab the water line from the top of the siphon to 5 Mile Reservoir. That project was complete. That pipe was upsized from 8 to 10 inch to the 5 Mile Reservoir. The reservoir was still in use, and then the county decided that they wanted to take a stab at cleaning the reservoir. Well, in doing so, they breached the west embankment of the pond, and then when it was placed back, proper compaction didn't take place, and so the reservoir would never hold water after that. It just all seeped out. So, you know, it's been 10, 11 years in the process, and we did recently discover, we thought that the Bureau of Land Management actually owned that property, and as it turns out, it was deeded to the state when they purchased the water system in 1963 from the private entity. Of course, then it was the Leonard and Curtis Wright Corporation. They still hold the deed to the 80 acres out there, so the Bureau of Land Management doesn't have any control of that, which is good on our behalf because, you know, the red tape, sometimes the red tape that you have to go through, you know, with those folks gets unreal. As I recall, this wastewater treatment plant was about 7 years, but so we don't have that obstacle in our way here, which is good news. But as a part of this rehab, what we decided to do is because of the large area out there, specifically to the north, there's enough room to expand the reservoir and increase the amount of storage by about an additional million gallons. So that will give us an additional 6.5 million gallons at that site. So if there were ever an issue with the siphon itself, and of course that pipeline that's feeding the siphon is vintage 1875, although it's in pretty decent shape for as old as it is, but we'll have some additional storage up on the mountain here. The Divide Reservoir holds an additional 2 million gallons, and that's primarily used for fire suppression purposes, specifically during the summer months for wildland fire protection. So, and it's our hope someday to, depending on funding, to turn that into kind of a public area as well, with you know, some park-like setting, if you will, you know, maybe some fishing. And just, you know, an area where everybody in the community, in the county, and, you know, maybe visitors can enjoy it down the road someday. So that's our goal. Did I cover the questions? Probably more than I needed to, Pat. But
I think that's good stuff.
Are we going to be increasing the volume that reservoir holds as well, or is it still going to
No, we probably will not increase the volume up there. There's really not enough room.
Except it really hasn't been holding anything in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, it's dry, and it has seeped. So both these reservoirs will be lined with an approved liner system. So we'll just see how the bids come back and see how much of the work that we can do to make this all happen. But pretty exciting news.
Is Les Cater happy now with the new decking on the bridge?
Yes, he actually no. He's but he'll keep us in tow, so which is fine. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Ms. Redman, do you have anything today?
Thank you, Commissioners. Just a couple things. We have a lot of planning files coming in, so we have been very busy, and we will keep being very busy. A couple SUPs for murals in VC, parcel map close to Tribe, the Vista Towers in the Highlands, and a reduced rear yard setback in the Highlands, too. So we are busy. Sherry and I attended a CDBG application workshop in Fallon and have the CDBG annual forum in Eureka in a couple weeks. So we're looking forward to this. This is my first time of really getting in on that, and so I'm learning a lot, and Sherry's guiding me through the process, and we're kind of teaming up on those things. So that's been good. And also, Sherry and I are attending a workshop on environmental and historic preservation in Carson next week. So we've been busy. So just to let you know. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a couple items. I was directed to an article to the Comstock Chronicle the other day in which Angela Mann recorded the minutes of a recent V&T Rail Commission meeting, which kind of took me back a little bit and kind of reasserted what Commissioner Sauvagan and I have thought all along, is that the commission, with the exception of Mr. Sauvagan, really doesn't have a clue what they're doing. We had an agreement that was dated January 1st, 2010, when we reinstituted the 1/4 cent option tax for the Railway Commission. And in that agreement, there were several things that, for the most part, we have that they have not complied on. Mr. Sauvagan came back to my office and made it quite clear that I was going to have to solve the problem, which I don't mind doing. I'm going to contact the Carson City Comptroller, Nick Provoletti. I'm going to contact Michael Anderson, who is the outside auditors for the V&T Rail Commission, and we're going to find a way of, number one, the amount of money that they owe us back, and number two, how they're going to do that. In the meantime, we have been directed that any future payments from Story County through the option tax process from the state of Nevada will not be forwarded to the V&T Rail Commission. So we're going to stop that and see if that kind of puts a burr under their saddle. My second thing is an introduction of an individual who has been retired from the Department of Taxation of the state of Nevada for probably less than a year, decided that it was time to go back to work, and he's a very valuable asset, not only to Story County, but many of the counties, because he was an integral part of the local government finance team down there, understands governmental affairs, and understands the workings of the Department of Taxation extremely well, has been there for quite a long time, is a great friend of ours. We're going to use Tom in various aspects as it applies to Department of Taxation affairs and concerns that we have here on the Comstock. Tom Gransbury, would you stand up, please? And that's Thomas, for all of you who see him walking around here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Gallagher.
Mr. Chairman. Yes. If I may follow up just a moment on that V&T stuff. This has been a kind of a delicate topic. We've kind of balancing diplomacy against our fiscal responsibilities with it. But of course, stopping the payment to the V&T Commission, I think, will get their attention. I think Hugh's contact with Nick down at the Comptroller's office in Carson City is going to help us out. And of course, the major problem has been that we're coming up with two different numbers, ours and theirs. And I don't see any way that if we get them with approximately $1 million that we have in there, and a board member of the V&T Commission, I'm not going to have that kind of money. But I think it's a good first step, moving forward. And so we may want to continue to address this, even once we come up with a final number. I don't see an immediate solution to us getting that money back out. It's going to be something we're going to have to keep a continual eye on. We completely stopped funding them, and we took our $1 million out, and we the commission continued that completely. And now we, of course, ceased operation of the long line, the Polar Express, and a lot of other things. any further construction, track maintenance, whatever. So it's going to be kind of a up and down deal.
You know, I might add just on the other one, it's not very often in the last couple of years you've heard the phrase Department of Taxation and good things. And I want to stress that one of the best things that's ever come out of the Department of Taxation is Mr. Gransberry. He's been the Story County tax analyst for over a decade, well over a decade, and did such a great job that he was promoted to oversee the entire operation for as head of local government finance. And we were flattered when Tom turned to us and said, you got anything that, you know, you could put me, my expertise to work for? And some of the projects that Hugh and Tom have agreed to line out, things like sales tax allocations and TRI and several other items are in just 2 short weeks, Tom's provided an accounting each and every week of his activities as to what he's accomplishing and what he's researching to get going on. And it's great to have him on the team as a consultant. So, thanks, Tom.
Great. All righty. Out of Community Services, Sherry, Evan, what's your name?
Good morning, Sherry Nevin, Community Services. Last Saturday, August 16th, 6 new site stewards were trained for the Largo Mocino Petroglyph area. This training was sponsored by the State Historic Preservation Office, and all 6 of those stewards are members of the Sheriff's CERT team. On August 13th, we were fortunate enough to host 70 Fulbright scholars here in Virginia City. They were hosted by Story County Community Chess, the Fourth Ward School, and the Northern Nevada International Center. This is the U.S. government's flagship international exchange program supported by the people of the United States and partner countries around the world. It was just a great experience. These students, probably average age of 25, and they were just so intrigued by our community and Nevada in general. They just had a million questions. I don't think they got a chance to have everything answered, but it was a very great experience, and I was very proud to be a part of that project. On September 17th, Carson City Health and Human Services will be offering flu shots in Lockwood from 3 to 6 p.m. We're not sure on the location yet. It'll either be at the community center or Hillside Elementary School. We're going to do the best location to serve all of the residents there. So September 17th from 3 to 6 p.m. Also, again, I remind you to keep October 18th as our health fair here in Virginia City from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. In the middle of September, we'll be coming before you, providing an overview of the Community Development Block Grant Program, seeking input for projects for the 2015 application cycle. So that's going to be a three-part series this year. They've changed it up a little bit. The first meeting will come to you and kind of explain the program and what we've funded in the past. We'll seek input. The second meeting will come to you and share the ideas that we've gotten from the public. And the third meeting will vote on what we want to see funded. So those changes came down from the state and how they wanted to see the public input process going. So that is all I have for today. If anyone has any questions for me.
Thank you. Sheriff?
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Deputy District Attorney, Ms. Langer?
Nothing at this time.
Special Counsel, Mr. Morris.
Nothing at this time, thank you.
County Manager, Mr. Whitman.
Bunch of stuff, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, on behalf of Chief Ames, who will be joining us later for the closed session, he is reviewing bids that came in on the structure engines to find compliance with the specs. So he's staying over at the office until I text him and say we're ready for you. His brief update would be that the bids are in and closed. They opened them yesterday, and they're reviewing them now. And also, as far as out-of-district fire assignments, we had one activated as early as this morning yet again. So we have equipment in Yreka, California, Kern County, California, and Oregon. And then we have overhead support staff in both Idaho and Washington. So as you look around, you see the fires, knock on wood, that it's not happening here in Story County, but our guys are still out there doing their best. On behalf of Mary Lee Miller, who also isn't here today due to some appointments, next time you go by the Lockwood Community Center, you'll see hopefully some very attractive, I guess what I'm going to call it, is tree art. She received some large wooden things from someone who donated them. She's put a couple of coats of fire preservative on them and placed them strategically out front as decor, and then was kind enough to donate the extra fire protectant sealers to our fire department. So that should be a nice enhancement out there. Dean Haymore is not here today because one of our major corporate investors in the community, Ardaw, which is a metal processing canning company, they're coming toward the tail end of their $60+ million capital investment in purchasing the old Royal Sierra Extruders building. He is actually doing an all-day inspection together with Fritz Klinger from our fire department, trying to get everything online so they're fully functional and ready to go to manufacture cans to go to California for the tomato harvest. Very briefly, as everyone knows, we have an underutilized right now building out in the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. It's fully ready to reactivate as a fire department. It does serve also as our public works roads department base and satellite offices, primarily for Dean and Shannon. Mike's crew, and I thank him for this, recently went out there and did some extra demising walls for us, trying to get creative with our space. Essentially, we have about a 30,000 square foot building, plus or minus, with fire department operations on the north end, public works roads on the south end, and quite a bit of good real estate in between as far as room to use. We currently have leased out till the end of the year to IntelliSource, which is a company that is the employment agency for Zulily, who is expanding their base operation in a brand new 700,000 square foot building. IntelliSource will be is conducting job recruitment and job fairs there right now, and hope to be done by the end of the year when their building is in and in full production. We'll see who else needs it out there, but we're trying to work in partnership with some of the larger projects that come out, and they need some temporary space because Mr. Gilman and his crew have absorbed up almost every vacant square foot there is out there, which is a great thing. We'll talk briefly about the houses over here in the parking lot. You can see we're one down, three to go as far as moving the Gallagher Clark B Street houses. Dixie's house, the yellow house, went very nicely and fairly smoothly with just a couple of glitches a week ago last Sunday, as was reported, I think, in both papers. The white one is now scheduled to move tomorrow morning. That is probably one of the two most difficult ones. That one has taken a little bit of extra time because it is high enough that the height of the house versus the lowness of both telephone and power lines are of concern, so you have to coordinate your move with NV Energy and AT&T. NV Energy has been great to work with. AT&T, finally, we got the right person at the right place, and everything should go at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, plus or minus. Ms. Redmond is working diligently as the project manager on the parking lot. Through actually Commissioner McBride's suggestion, we reached out to our engineer, who's designing the back wall here, to a retaining wall. Mr. McBride has seen a very nice-looking retaining wall in California, off Highway 12 and 29, I believe. We contacted Caltrans Engineering through our engineer, and he's got full access to design plans, so engineering costs may have just dropped significantly on that project if we can design to the same general standards. I thank you for that. Jesse will be working with me on amending the lease because we don't own all the property behind the houses, so we'll take a look at that. Then she is credentialed and graduate with a master's in architectural landscape. Did I say that right? Something like that. Okay. And she's actually working on her layout for those lots, for several to go. So that partnership between John McDonald and Far West and under Desi's lead, we are making progress. The other two houses will continue to disappear as well. Comstock Mining has a home for the greenhouse that should be slated next, but it's going clear out to American Flats, and apparently will have to be sawed approximately in half before it can be moved to get it out there. And then the last house Ed and Molly Burnett bought, and that'll move down to a pad on E Street, I believe. A couple of good news things. Desi mentioned the special use permits for the murals. And if you haven't had a chance yet, and I definitely would encourage both Karen and Angela, the wall that's going up on the west end, southern walls of the Bucket of Blood parking lot, pardon the pun, truly is a work of art, not only from just the standpoint of the drawings on the wall, but to see the behind-the-scenes orchestration of this. I was blessed enough to know a young lady by the name of Corey Sam Northam. I usually know her as Corey the bartender. But this was Corey's idea, and she kind of planted the seed and now has other gifted artists such as Molly Burnett and others, some in our community, some outside. And to watch the project of this grassroots movement and what it's going to translate into as a pictorial of life on the Comstock, I think is something that needs to be appreciated as we're watching it now. So I'd encourage you, they even have a Facebook page, I think it's called The Wall or something like that. Email me and I'll tell you what it is because it's cool to watch. And lastly, we all learned, or many of us learned of sad news, and many of you may not know him, but I was fortunate enough to work both as a reserve deputy while he was a corporal, and then he actually worked for me for a couple of years when I became sheriff. He retired, and I went on to help him frequently on weekends, he and his wife Rosalie, with trade shows. They had a product that they sold in both Northern California and Northern Nevada. But Homer Hayes passed away this weekend after a battle with cancer. So he was truly one of the good guys. I don't think you could call him a Comstocker because he was Royal Hawaiian all the way through. But he was a great man. That's it.
Vanessa, do you have anything from the clerk's office there? Thanks, everybody. I think I have. All right.
Number 13.
Oh, how can I miss all? Mr. Osborne.
Because he keeps coming in. There.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I just want to give you a little update on a couple things going on. I'll be having our Story County administrative policies coming up to this board for approval in the next few months. Once some of the larger items like Comstock are done and union bargaining, I'll be getting those. And I do plan on a comprehensive update of all of the administrative policies. Those are basically your internal policies for county operations. Ms. Redmond gave a description that the Vista Tower will be coming up to the Planning Commission for a review. I do want to make it in the record that there will be two prongs to this. This is the monopine tower that's out at the end of Saddleback in the Highlands, and there will be two parts to this. One will be providing an extension for the applicant because he hasn't applied for his, or he hasn't fulfilled the special use requirements at this time. The second one will be amending the special use permit so that the applicant does not have to have the carriers on the tower contracted before he builds the tower. That will enable them to build a tower and then get carriers. And by that alone, we believe that we will have cell phone coverage and carriers out there in a very soon period of time after the tower is built. I am collaborating with Attorney Robert Sater out of the Industrial Park with regard to the 600 acres that's now part of Story County. We will be developing master plan amendments for that territory, as well as zone text amendments and zone map amendments. So we believe that process will be going on between now and the next 3 months or so before it ultimately ends up to this board for a vote. So that'll include all that land. And then last but not least, Comstock Mining is scheduled for August 21st. For the Planning Commission. That is a 5 o'clock meeting, but we will not start anything regarding Comstock Mining until at least 6 o'clock. It'll probably be a little bit later, but we are starting that meeting early as there's quite a bit of items on that agenda. And then that item, of course, as we know, is scheduled to be September 2nd before it's heard at this board. And so as far as that meeting goes, I can tell you that certain residents have been visiting with me on a regular basis in my office, coming up with adjustments and things that they want to work with both county staff as well as Comstock Mining on conditions and restrictions. And as long as anybody wants to come and visit with me and be productive and constructive and collaborative, the door is always open, and it's been actually a pleasure working with these individuals. Thank you.
Let's move along to item 11, board comment. Commissioner Shebagan?
Oh, I'm past today.
Commissioner Gilman?
No, don't have anything to add.
The only thing I have to add is to follow up on Commissioner Shebagan's comment earlier on the Railroad Commission, since he's a board member there, is that I did not attend their last meeting, but if it was reported correctly in the local paper on what transpired there, I think it has to be up to the comptroller to go ahead and discontinue sending any funds from this point forward until we find out where they stand. It was comic relief. I thought I was reading the funnies when I was reading the paper that no one on the commission, their staff, does not know how much money they have at the bank. The treasurer doesn't know, their staff doesn't know, and I'd be embarrassed if I sat on that board because of the fact that they don't know where they stand. So, with that said, a lot has been brought up in these meetings about the railroad, about Story County's commitment to this financially. And I was one of these people early on who went out and campaigned to get this this tax renewed on a ballot measure a couple of years ago. Always thinking that this railroad is going to be completed. I don't know if this railroad is ever going to get completed, but if we're going to go forward just to finance the operation of the train in its current measure, I think it's something we have to reevaluate in the future. Anyway, with that said, let's go ahead and move on to 13. Is that right?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, this is for possible action approval of a single check number 79513, for $4,500 to the Bucket of Blood. I would like to say that one guarantee I can make in having Mr. Gilman not attend a commission meeting would be to put a singular item on there for a check that Commission McBride can't look for. This was continued from your last meeting. Because Commissioner McBride is a member or an investor or partner in the Bucket of Blood properties, he cannot vote on this. This is for our quarterly meeting for the parking lot immediately south of the Bucket of Blood.
Okay. Well, that's so at this time, we're looking for a motion for approval.
I'll approve to approve the check 79513 for $4,500 for the Bucket of Blood.
I'll second that. Move to second for approval. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
We have some comments.
Are you allowed to have a comment on this? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should have to.
Sure. Okay. Come on up.
Comments.
Kay Dean, Virginia City Highlands. Okay, first of all, could you tell me when this lease actually began?
I don't have a lease with me. This lease has been going on for quite some time.
I understand. The minutes from 2012 indicated it had been going on.
If you contacted my office, I would have been happy to tell you that.
Okay. Well, back when this was originally entered into, it was done for paving of other areas that was owned by the McBrides. And I'm just curious, back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, if we were actually paving pretty close to $20,000 worth a year, because that's, I do believe this is a quarterly payment. Am I correct on that?
Correct.
So that's $18,000 a year for a parking lot. When I moved here in 2000, we didn't have, I believe, two parking lots down on D Street that are currently there. It's my understanding that we just recently bought another parking lot. So that's three more parking lots that we didn't have. So my question is, I'd like to see an economic feasibility study done to see if this merits $18,000 a year to the county, because I don't think it's really providing that much of a benefit at this point in time, because we do have additional parking lots that were not in existence when I believe this lease was created. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Phillips, you had a question?
I have a question. How many parking spots does Mr. McBride provide to the county?
I don't know. That information was not provided here.
The parking spot or parking lot does he provide?
That wasn't provided here either. I haven't done the research. I just saw this, and I don't see parking as an issue. As a local who's been here 15 years and has seen additional areas created into parking lots to accommodate this situation, I used to live in the RV park. There are many more parking lots in town than there were when I first moved here in 2000. And that's the only point I'm addressing, that I don't think there's a cost-benefit analysis that's been done on this to evaluate. I mean, how many parking lots do we have in town before we no longer lease this one? Is it one more? Is it two more? Or do we have enough already? And I think without doing an analysis on this, you can't really make a correct fiscal determination whether this is an appropriate way to spend money. Thank you.
And if I might add for the record, first off, this is a quarterly reoccurring payment under an existing lease that was approved by a previous board. And feasibility studies just to justify ongoing payment, I think, is totally inappropriate and out of line. Second off, and again, I'm trying to think through this process, I actually know of no lots, specific parking lots, that the county owns. I guess if we counted Mike's Public Works as one huge parking lot, inclusive of the water company where the building department is, but I know of no other such lots that have been referenced during this meeting.
Mr. Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman McBride. Again, for the record, Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident. Oh, here we are on discussion possible action, item number 13 for possible action approval, check number 79513 for $4,500 to the bucket of blood. Of course, the agenda does not mention what this is for. And Chairman McBride, respectfully, in the last year and a half, you've had a chance to get a confidential opinion from Commission on Ethics about how to handle this. Plenty of time to get an opinion. And also, I would suggest this is the second year you filed a financial disclosure statement, first as a candidate, now as commissioner, and you have failed to disclose properties which you have an interest in, even though they're family trust, and including two patent and mining claims on the top of the hill. So I would suggest maybe retaining legal counsel and discussing your obligation to disclose these properties to the public, even though they are family trust properties. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other public comment on this? Mr. McGuffey.
Chad McGuffey, Virginia City Highlands. In the defense of parking, since the county worked with me to move the Justice Court into this building, parking became an issue. We had a lot of defendants coming up here. We also have employees in this building that have to park. The additional parking, this parking lot, I've had to park down a block away to come to work at times because there was no parking. The Pipers, since the school board's taken over, they've got functions going almost every weekend. So that takes up parking. We have our main events, our Thunder on the Mountain, the camel races. People can't find a place to park. It's 4th of July, of course, we all know that's crazy. So the added parking lot is going to be a blessing. Thank you.
And I might add, with respect to the comment made on the ethics opinion, I own that one. I was going to discuss that with Karen Caffaretta Jenkins, as was Mr. Maddox. It is essentially moot at this point until we conclude our negotiations with both the McBride Family Trust on an expansion of the courthouse parking. But I wish Denny Dotson or Ronell were here today because, and I know there are others that can and perhaps won't choose to speak. We have two C Street business owners here. The one thing this town never has enough of, economic feasibility study or not, is parking, period. End of discussion. We acquired four houses over here for a cost of approximately $262,000 with the specific intent of creating more parking. We hear that from the merchants and the visitors in this town almost every day of the year.
Any further public comment? Come on up.
My name is Joyce Flynn, and I am Comstock Cornfield. And we do not have enough parking in Virginia City. When I have my customers, and I have local customers who like to come to my restaurant, but they say they can't find parking. It happens all the time. And it's, we have seniors that come in, and it's difficult for them to walk places and or maneuver their wheelchairs or whatever. And if they can't manage the hills. So without more available parking, it does make it difficult for some tourists to visit our town and thoroughly enjoy it, as well as our local people as well.
Thank you. Ms. Barnes, you have your hand up.
Jennifer Barnes, Story County resident, and I manage and run the Mustang Ranch Steakhouse, and there's not enough parking. People come through town, and they have to park all the way at 4th Ward School to be able to come to the middle of town, but there's not enough parking. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Chime in?
All right.
On item 13, we have a motion and a second to approve check number 49513. After a bucket of blood, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And all abstain. Motion carries. We're going to go ahead and take a 10-minute recess right now.
Okay.